we'll see how long my battery lasts. But so let's do a introduction first, and I'll say first that I'm Corey Willis, and I'm with Grind It Out, and this is a podcast, and it's going to be part of our podcast series, which will be discussing everything CrossFit and fitness in Asia. And for the moment, we're really focused more on China. And so today we have Stephanie, and Stephanie's going to do a self-introduction first, and then we're going to dig into some interesting topics. I think we're going to talk about some of the work that you've been doing in China, and then we'll just see where we go from there. Cool. So, Stephanie.
Thank you, Corey, for having me. I'm Stephanie Ramos. I've been in China for 9 years, and I started functional fitness here. So I've been coaching for 6 years already. And yeah, in the CrossFit community, in Shenzhen, mostly Shenzhen.
Okay.
But then I've been to Shanghai a couple of times to compete the year before, last year and, 2017.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Last 2 years.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of different stuff. So you did competing and you've done coaching primarily?
Mostly coaching, yeah. I focus more on coaching and not really training as a CrossFit athlete.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we talked about that a little bit recently, is that it's hard to balance both things, being an athlete as well as a coach at the same time. Can you tell us about what that was like when you were training and coaching? Mm-hmm. Just share a bit about your experience.
I always liked sports, so when I grew up I played basketball, a little bit of indoor soccer, swimming, tennis, golf, but I never had a disciplined lifestyle as an athlete, because I do have other friends that they are athletes since they were kids.
Right.
So when I started training for CrossFit, it was mostly just to keep up with my friends.
Yeah.
And then I started doing competitions. For fun, recreation, mostly for travel. Yeah, but I was training for 3-4 months consistently. Then I would stop for a month, and I really wanted to come back. But just because of the community and my friends, just to, you know, keep up.
Yeah.
Then I continued to train. But I noticed that training for 3 hours per day, 4 times a week, it wasn't helping me as a coach. Mm. So I would train in the afternoon for 2 or 3 hours, and then I had evening classes, and I was eating enough and I didn't have any energy to coach.
Yeah.
And that was getting to me.
Okay.
So yeah, I pretty much burned out after 2 years of training. What we see that CrossFit athletes do, so they do the strength portion and they do a like maybe 2 or 3 metcons, and then after they do accessory work, that was a bit too much for me.
Okay.
Mostly because I didn't have any discipline or a structured program, I'd say. Yeah.
So that burnout, I think a lot of people experience that same thing with CrossFit. The intensity is high, and a lot of people feel like if they want to do well in competition, that they need to be working 3 to 4 hours a day. And to be honest, for the regular people, like most of us, we just cannot maintain that level of intensity so many days in a row for so many months before we feel like, this is just, I don't want to go to the gym right now. And yeah, I've gone through that too. It sounds like that's part sort of what you're saying as well. And not only that, it was affecting your coaching. So in what way was that? Being an athlete, being a coach, how is it affecting the coaching part of it?
I wasn't so present with the members. I wasn't able to just give them individualized attention and giving them what they needed.
Yeah.
So I would mostly just want to say all the information to them instead of listening to what they needed from a coach, because as a coach I need to meet them where they are.
Yeah.
So I need to be able to actually read the signals and then listen to them first, or how they react to the movements and the workout, and be able to adapt for their own need.
I think this is a really good, like, before we, let's jump into this topic, because I think this is the most interesting part, is let's talk about coaching, because coaching is really important. It's a very important job to have, and oftentimes we simplify it, and maybe our expectations for coaches are not high enough, but let's hear about what you think is your coaching philosophy. Mm-hmm. What are those things that you feel are critically important for a coach to have in order to be effective coaches?
Well, first things first, a coach needs to care about their members. They need to care about their own people. So first thing, care. Care about the people. Yeah, care about their own job too. Caring first, because we can always learn how to coach a snatch, coach a movement, but we can't teach anyone how to care about other people. Mm. So that's the first characteristic to watch from to look for.
Right.
When you're hiring your coach, or if you're in a class, if you feel that the coach actually cares about you and cares that you improve for your own sake, for your own well-being, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Next thing, coaching experience. Yeah. Because at first, my first 2 years coaching, I was super technical. I think we all go through this. I was super technical. I wanted everybody's movement to be perfect.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand that each person had they had their own lives outside the gym. But right. I couldn't see that. I wasn't that kind of a person that could understand that people have lives outside the gym, so I was just pushing too much just to make them push hard at the gym. But sometimes people can't push hard at the gym. They just want to go there to have fun,
yes,
relax, de-stress. And me as a coach right now, I just focus in creating an experience and creating an environment for them to feel safe, for them to be themselves, especially here in China, that the, you know, they don't feel that they can express themselves. So just having an environment that if people want to scream when they're doing their workout, cool. Just let them. If people like to be shy in their corner with their own friends, I also encourage them to be together with their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Great. I think the biggest takeaway is it's all about people. I mean, it's really about getting to know your members, getting to know your clients, get to know who they are, what motivates and drives them personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway, and I would totally agree with you about that.
That takes time, and I'm still working on that every single day. It's like, okay, what does he need? What does she need? It's like, what can I do to help them? It's like, yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about what you're doing now for coaching? Because it's a little bit unique. It's not like CrossFit gym.
Oh, yeah. So I coach... I'm an in-house coach that NC Fit in the US, they provide us the coaches in a factory here in China. So it's the name is Western Digital.
Western Digital.
Western Digital, it's a data hard drive company.
Okay.
And they're located worldwide. So each factory in the world, there is a gym. And it's the gym and the coaches are provided from NC Fit. They used to be NorCal CrossFit.
Okay.
So Jason Kalipa. Jason Kalipa in California.
Everybody knows Jason Kalipa. He's like one of the earliest CrossFit Games athletes. He was in the first one, I think.
I don't know. But I just know that he won the 2008 one.
Yeah, which I think was the first. I think that was the first ever CrossFit Games. And now he's not competing in CrossFit Games, but he has branched out into coaching and to other sorts of stuff. So that's where he comes from. And it sounds like it's factories that look at all over the world, and they have this service they provide to their workers, which is personal training and fitness, which must have some benefits for their work life and home life and everything.
Yeah.
And then NC provides the coaches to that service. Mm-hmm. And you're one of those coaches.
Yes. So I take care of the gym here in China. I manage the gym in China for them. So then... The main thing is that it's all group classes. So we provide 30 minutes class.
Okay.
Because they need to also work. So they come to the gym mostly at noon. Because then they have time to eat, work out, and then go back and then continue to work.
Of course, right.
So 30 minutes, it's the perfect time. Like 1 hour class will be the typical CrossFit class.
Right.
Strength training or skill, and then a MedCon. Full 1 hour, and that will be in the evening when they finish class, when they finish work.
Yeah.
What can
you do in half an hour? What does a class look like? Tell me what a typical CrossFit, typical class, group class looks like.
Yeah, warm up, about 5 minutes warm up, but we also do the brief. So 1 or 2 minutes of briefing the workout. So we go to the whiteboard, tell them what we're gonna do, introduce the workout, and then we go through the warm up as a group. And most of the workouts for the 30 minutes class, it's dumbbell movements, because it's less complex than the barbell.
Right.
It's better for their joints. And EMOM style, AMRAP style, mostly cardiovascular work. Sometimes it's 20 minutes, sometimes it's 10 minutes. It depends.
Okay.
And we finish that with a cool down.
And if you were to say, let's just be very general. If you were to say one class, in a percentage, how much of it is it similar to a CrossFit class that you would see from before, and how much of it is sort of different than CrossFit? What would be
30 minutes class, we actually have two options.
Okay.
One option would be mostly like a short style boot camp.
Yeah.
Interval or high intensity interval training. The whole class is 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So it varies. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes 16, sometimes 18, 24, who knows. And the other class, it's a short style CrossFit class. Yeah, because we still do thrusters, we do push press, wall balls.
Okay.
But the same 9 movements or CrossFit movements we do by utilizing dumbbells.
I see.
Dumbbells, kettlebells.
This is really good.
Yeah, it's a time-effective workout, let's say.
Yeah. I think this is good for everybody that's going to watch this, because for a lot of people that are just getting into fitness in China, and I think, you know, around the world, when CrossFit came out, a lot of people that perhaps didn't know a lot about fitness, they come into it and they think that, okay, this is CrossFit and this is fitness, but there's lots of ways of doing fitness. There's lots of ways of becoming healthier.
Yeah.
And so you're combining some elements of CrossFit that we would typically see, maybe some movement styles or the EMOMs and AMRAPs, but you're using dumbbells to make movements a little bit simpler for some people, but also to improve joint health. And you're playing around with the length of classes to work around people's daily lives. So there's a lot of different ways that we can work, and we can still get the same benefits from these types of classes.
Yeah. I would like to add to the coaching. You asked me about coaching.
Okay.
Like the main thing about coaching, like meeting where they're at, is just knowing what you can give them so it's challenging enough that they want to try, but it's not too challenging that they just give up. So something in the middle. Let's say jump ropes.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of the people that can't jump rope. So then I just do like, I really like that progression that I learned from Carl Pauli. You know Carl Pauli, the American Spanish coach? He used to do gymnastics squat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gymnastics squat in the beginning. Now he has his own brand, it's freestyle.
Okay.
He's gonna be in China in Shanghai in November. He's gonna be in November in Shanghai.
Okay, stay tuned. Maybe we can get something.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Okay.
I'm so excited. I'm not going, but I'm excited that he's coming to China. Anyway. So you grab both handles of the rope in one hand and you just start doing this. Yeah, spinning with your wrist. Okay, one side, the other side, blah, blah. And then you spin, start jumping. And just feel the rope spinning while you're jumping.
Right.
And that's the first thing, to get them.
The time.
To get it, yeah, getting used to holding the rope.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, if they start skipping in class, like that's a PR.
You
and
feel like, some success.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Just knowing like what to give them. I'm not gonna be like, okay, so you're gonna do 50 single unders today, and they can't even jump, and then they're like 1, 2, and they stop, and then you see they're like disappointed face, or like, I'm not good enough. Give something that you know they'll feel accomplished with.
Yes.
And just practice later.
Yeah, meeting where your athletes are at. Where are they level now? And let's not give them too much, so they feel like they feel beaten down or like they failed, give them something that they can accomplish, and it is motivation to keep learning and to get better and better and better. And that's awesome. That's part of the coaching philosophy, Stephanie's coaching philosophy. And as part of your job, are you also hiring coaches and managing coaches?
Cool.
Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, right now we've been recruiting coaches. So right now part of my job is actually how do you say that?
Hiring? Or
not exactly me hiring, but me filtering the coaches and see if they
candidate selection. She's
okay, yeah,
getting a lot of applicants and sort of deciding based on certain factors. Okay, this person interview, this person not yet, mm-hmm. sort of a thing.
Yeah, because as a manager of the gym, and I need to know the culture of the gym too. And we as coaches, we build the culture and we maintain the culture of the gym and the company.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm on board and I understand what the company needs and the gym culture, I'm able to select the coach that fits our culture.
Right.
And believes the same thing that we believe in, which is coaching first, like helping people. That's the first thing.
Okay, so and that's already some stuff in there with managing, but as let's dig a little bit deeper into the management aspect. What sort of, after you have a coach, let's say you have a new coach that joins your gym, how much of your time is spent on coaching development and training and performance reviewing, etc.? What does that look like?
Right now, we have a coach development program and planning from NC Fit. So they provide us an app. And then we have the session plans for the classes.
Okay.
As a guideline, so we can always change according to what we need, because sometimes we get 25 people per class or 30 people per class, and then we need to switch movements or adjust according to our space.
Right.
But training, we do sometimes give feedback after watching the coach, the leading coach, and then we do one coach is leading and I'm just assisting. And well, we get into the flow because we understand how our classes are run.
Yeah.
We know the structure, what's gonna happen when. And then also, like, having a good relationship with my co-coach, I understand his style, and I know what's coming next.
Yes.
And I can actually prepare, let's say we have three new people in class,
yeah.
so I can prepare them and then not impact while the whole class, while the coach is leading the other people.
A lot goes into this. It's not so simple as just standing up to a board and saying, okay, A, B, C, D. There's a lot of thinking that goes into making a class go well and giving your clients the best experience possible.
Mm-hmm. The main thing is daily self-feedback. After each class, I just stop there. I'm sure that all the coaches that care about their craft, they do stop and they think about what could I have done better, what was so-so, like what was awesome, what was my epiphany, like aha moments, you know, because sometimes I go in, I have my plan, but I like improvising.
Yeah.
So I do have a structure, but then I just improvise on the skills section.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's try something different that I never tried before to see if actually it helps or not, because I coach in Chinese and all my cues, they're mostly the same all the time.
Right.
But I do have different options. But sometimes I just want to try different ways of saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's in Chinese, and I just want to know if it works or not.
Okay.
You know, and if it doesn't work, okay, I'll try something else on the spot, which is, that's what I like.
Yeah, yeah.
After years of, you get better, you get more confident in just improvising.
I think for everybody out there, if you're a coach and you are listening to this or you're watching us, a big takeaway is, are you, like Stephanie says, are you looking at your coaching after you're done a class? Do you feel like, this class didn't go so well, what can I do better? This is a really important part. And if you're not doing that, then start doing it. Because that's how you're going to become better and better and better. But let's take a step in a different direction for the conversation. Actually, I'm going to look to make sure I'm not out of battery.
We're good. We're good. Cool. Oh, but I'm almost losing you, so I'm going to...
I'm back.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. So let's go into a little bit of a different direction now. Let's go to CrossFit in China. Mm-hmm. Let's say CrossFit and fitness. Mm-hmm. And have you seen... You've been here for 9 years, and you've been doing fitness and CrossFit for how many of those years?
Fitness, functional fitness, starting 2012.
Okay, so at least seven years.
Yeah,
so 7 years.
I started coaching. Yeah, I started coaching in 13, so yeah, 6 years.
Okay.
But CrossFit, I started coaching. I've been coaching CrossFit for 3 years, and
so
started training as a CrossFit as an athlete.
Yeah.
2 years.
Okay. So lots of different experience. So I'd like to hear what you see as what's changed from 2012 to now.
I still think from 2012 there was no CrossFit here. I think the first one was in 2014.
Okay.
And it was just too extreme. People still think that it's too extreme. And I understand why they think it's too extreme, because we all see on social media people doing heavy lifting and stuff like that.
Yes.
And they're like, well, that's too much for me. But we all start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's okay to start with the PBC. That's how we get better, actually. You know,
yeah.
Training. Oh, what are the differences? A lot. I just see a lot more demand for fitness and aesthetics right now.
Okay.
So a lot of people they're talking more about getting fitter. I don't know if they want health and wellness, or if they're looking for aesthetics and then having the
physique. A nice look.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right now I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, but you probably sit down with your clients and do they tell you, I want to look nicer, or I want to feel healthier,
mm-hmm.
or do they know what they want?
Superficially, we all want, like, I want to lose weight.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah,
mostly, I have the same experience. Yeah.
Mostly women. Like, women. I want to lose weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. But then why do you want to lose weight? You know, is that because like your parents are saying, oh, you're fat, or like your kids are saying, oh, you're fat, or whatever, who's telling you, oh, you know what, come on. Okay, yeah. That's cultural. That's something else. That's another different conversation.
It's relevant. It's very important.
It is.
A lot of people
would
be interested in this,
so,
because should they feel pressure from society to be a certain way? Is that acceptable or unacceptable? And
I think that it's a to them, because at the end of the day it's their life and it's their choice. As long as they can live with their choice that they make, that's okay.
Okay.
But I think because most of my members they're parents, so they have families, they're not young, like teenagers and 20 something.
Yeah.
So they already have a household responsibility. So I think they want to fit in into the culture and be a better family member.
Mm.
And that I totally support. Of course, because if you're not a good family member, your whole family is affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they say, oh, I want to lose weight, yeah, I'll say, yeah, cool. But first thing I say is like, let's try this and then see how you look in the mirror, and then check if you wear the same clothes, t-shirt or pants, if it fits the same way or if you look better when you wear them after a month.
Oh, okay.
Because after they start thinking about it in a different way, they won't focus too much on the scale.
Yes.
But also we have, sometimes they tell me, oh, you know, I'm gaining weight. I say, yeah, sometimes the scale you might gain weight, but do you feel better at work? Do you feel you can work better, you don't get so tired.
Yeah.
You can go hiking with your kids on the weekends, and then on a Saturday and Sunday you just rest, Monday you're back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being sick for 3 days and then just recovering on Wednesday. at work.
Right.
So instead of just telling them what to do, or I like to tell them where to look at and think in a different way.
Guiding a different way of thinking or understanding their goals.
Yeah.
Because sometimes clients may say that they want to lose weight, and you should ask that why question, because they think that losing weight will make them feel better, will make other people not judge them, will make them more energetic. But that's not necessarily the case. So when you ask the why question, maybe they'll say, well, I want to be more energetic at work. And then you realize, well, maybe weight loss is not going to make you feel better at work. Actually, you might be the same weight, but we just changed your diet, or we just changed, you did a little bit of exercise and you'll feel better. Yeah. So that's a very interesting, very important discussion. We sort of went back to the coaching part of it. But I think
help.
It's great.
Yes. But it's hard to answer why. It's difficult to answer why and knowing why you want to lose weight, you know.
Okay.
It is difficult, so I understand if I don't go and ask directly, why do you want to lose weight or what for? I tell them, okay, let's see how this goes. And then,
yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because that's such a difficult question to propose to your client. They have no idea how to answer a why question.
Maybe because it's too personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So now, next part, next question. Are you going to watch the CrossFit Games this weekend?
I'm not planning to.
Not planning to? It's on tonight.
Okay.
Good
to know.
By the time this comes out, I think it'll already be done. We're almost done. But just so we can have it on tape, do you follow some of the CrossFit Games stuff at the moment, or no?
No.
Not really?
No.
Okay.
No,
so I'm not going to ask you who you think is going to win.
I seriously, I don't know, maybe Matt Fraser?
Yeah.
That's the only guy. Like, I have no idea.
I think everybody's banking on him to win. Yeah.
I seriously don't follow. And then, okay, I tell people, I don't care. I seriously don't care. And maybe they don't understand why I don't care, or maybe they think that I'm joking that I don't care. Because if I'm a coach or I coach CrossFit, then I should care about CrossFit Games. Not really.
No.
When
I was a coach, I didn't watch. Now that I'm not a coach, I watch. That's funny, eh? Seriously, we don't all know, we don't all follow it. But for me, I'm watching Patrick Vellner because he's Canadian. I've been watching the news a lot recently, and I'm watching for him, and I'm hoping that he's going to take it back. There's two Canadians.
What about Fikowski?
Fikowski also.
Yeah, I was like,
Two Canadians, two chances. So I'm rooting for you guys. Keep it up. So that's going to be the weekend. And then we'll have our competition coming out. The next competition in Guangzhou is going to be on the 10th and 11th next weekend, and Stephanie's also going to be there.
Yep.
And she's going to be helping us out a bit, because Stephanie has joined us at Grind It Out. We're just sort of hashing out the final few details, but we're really happy to have her on our team, because she brings so much ambition and so much, I mean, she was already doing so much help for us before now. So we're really happy to have you.
I'm happy to be in the team.
Awesome.
Yeah. About Fikowski?
Oh, okay.
Well, I judged him at Asia. What was the name?
Oh, really?
Asia CrossFit. What?
The
CrossFit
Championship. Asia Championships.
Yeah, Asia Championship. Okay.
So,
see, I've been
let's
there
talk
and
about
I don't
that.
Know the name.
Stephanie was a referee. A judge,
yeah.
I guess is the way. I'm sorry, a judge at the Asia Championships, which was the sanctional event, was a sanctional for the CrossFit Games this year, and it was in February in Shanghai. End of April in Shanghai, and Stephanie went. So share with us your experience judging that event.
That was intense.
Intense.
That was fun. Because I participated a competition, so I used to be in the athlete side, which is much easier than being on the judge side.
Because
then we have so many heats to cover, and it's back to back.
Right.
And then all the athletes, top athletes, they're just going to win, right?
Yeah.
So it's like super cool energy, and then you gotta be like on point.
So you did individual and team, or
mm-hmm.
okay, both.
Yeah, both.
And you did the coaches. You were doing Fikowski's lane.
The last few workouts, I guess, the last few events. But I remember clearly. Oh yeah, the rope climb thing and the handstand walk.
Okay.
Because the handstand walk, he was walking and he didn't wrap his palm. So the rule was, his fingers could go out on the side, on the lines from the side.
Yeah.
But his palm couldn't go. So then this part of his hand went outside the line, touched the line.
So you had to give a
rep. He was almost like, it was the last 5 meters, and he's like, boom, and like, no rep. and then he just went back and started walking. In the end, he has the head coach, what was that? He's like, yeah, that was your no rep, your hand was out.
And you're like, oh, yeah.
I saw that. It was super, like, it was clear, you know?
It was obvious.
It was clear. I don't know. At the moment, it felt not slow motion, but it was obvious. It was clear. I was like, a no rep.
Did you feel nervous in that moment, though, that you had to call a no rep? Or what, for
no.
you, was it just, this is my job?
It was.
That's what I have to do. It was obviously
that
a no rep, so.
That was not easy, but yeah, it just.
Natural to you.
Mm-hmm.
That has to, yeah, of course.
But that was the end of the competition, so we already had a lot of practice before. Get to that time, it's pretty simple.
Okay. And did you feel like the whole organization of the event was pretty nice?
It was great,
yeah.
It was the first, seriously, it was the first competition that was on time.
Okay.
Started on time, all heats on time, finished on time.
Cool.
Because we had experiences before that we would be late like for 1 hour. Heats would start 1 hour late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be really difficult if an event, a sanctional event, which is a high level event, was to be an hour late. That would be a problem for athletes. They're warming
Definitely.
Up and then they need to go on the field and sort of. So that was important to keep on time.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to mm-hmm. be a judge in the future? Do you want to go back and do that again? Or?
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
So are we going to see you in Pandaland?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Oh yeah, and then for the judges, for the sanctional event.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the team of coaches. We had 3-4 head coaches guiding
okay.
us, and then you know making sure everything was on point.
Yeah.
That was very professional, and then I really appreciate that.
Good. So it was organized to make sure that the judges knew exactly how to do their job.
Yeah.
Correctly.
We had every morning briefing, and then we went through all the workouts, all the movements, all the standards and points of performance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to mix with any of the athletes in China during that event or during the other events that you've been involved with? Do you know anything about some of the Chinese athletes or other Asian athletes that are competing in different events this year?
I think that this year there are so many different events, and
yeah.
even international events, the one in Korea, the Philippines Kelly's Games, even in China, there
yeah.
are so many different
there are.
Events, like the one in Guangzhou, there will be one in Xiamen.
Yeah.
So a lot of events, and it's just difficult to say which one each athlete will choose, because you can't compete the whole year.
Yes.
I think it's too much on the body, on their nervous system, and it's hard to recover.
Yeah. And you're going back to Brazil in a little bit for a sort of vacation.
Yeah, I'm going on vacation.
And do you already have your plans set out for that trip, what you're going to do?
Yeah. So I'm going home for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And, my vacations are always workcation.
Oh.
Because
okay.
I don't know why. I can't stay away from work too much. So first week, I'm going to a coaching development course. So the leading coaches in Brazil, they come to China. They work with Ma Strength, Ma Li.
Yes.
Coach Ma.
Yeah.
Weightlifting.
I've done his class. Yes.
Ooh.
It's good.
Yeah.
yeah.
So they come. So it's a group of coaches, Brazilian coaches, CrossFit coaches, but they specialized in weightlifting. So they come to China every year, twice a year.
Yeah.
So that's how I met them here in China. And then they invited me to go to Brazil and then participate in their course. coaching development. It's a 4 intensive days of studying. Mostly I want to go just to get to know the Brazilian CrossFit community and the environment, relationships, because it's a completely different vibe society-wise. The people are warmer and it's different. I just want to feel that again and I come back fresh. So they invited me to go participate, and it's not just for weightlifting. It's for coaching development, and it's CrossFit related too. So we will have mobility part. We will have metcon part, breathing and stuff like that.
Okay.
And also weightlifting for just managing and leading one big class in the weightlifting. Let's say we need to do snatch or clean and jerk skills, and then how to do that effectively. In a big group.
Yeah, this is really good. Stephanie just referenced Mali, which is, they're all over the world now. They go to different places, and they primarily it's two guys. It's a Chinese national weightlifter, Olympic weightlifter from way back. Mm-hmm. I forget his full name. It's Ma. I forget. I'm gonna say that. I'm gonna insert that, and it's also one of his. He was a coach for a university team in the U.S., and he also worked together now with another. I think it's a U.S. partner, and they do events all over the place, powerlifting and Olympic weightlifting. So if we have information, we can share that as well for you guys. But I did their Olympic weightlifting class. It was very good. I had a great time, learned a lot. So I would recommend it to anybody that wants to try something different. Certainly there's a lot of different training opportunities outside of CrossFit level 1, 2, 3, gymnastics, etc. And there's more and more, I feel like, all the time. Not all of it is the best. I don't know how much you've come into contact with different types of training stuff that's...
Well, the people that I like following the coaches of the coaches that I like. Mm. Say like where they're coming from or the background. So Carl Pauli is the one, the freestyle coach. He used to be a gymnast. But the name already says freestyle, so he respects all kind of movements and styles.
Yeah.
That's the first thing, so which I really like. And he learned a lot from Ido Portal. Ido Portal is from Israel, and he does all natural movement. Human movement. Like he focuses on movement as it is and not a method. Mm. Yeah, he doesn't focus on the method. So because we see that a lot of people, they have their own methods, and you can follow all the methods and not get anywhere, but if you know the principles, then you can do whatever, and then you understand the methods, or you can create your own method to get somewhere. What was your question again?
I was just sort of talking about different training opportunities in China, what new stuff is coming.
Oh, in China, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of training camps for different types of methodologies and different training in China. I think that's a really big topic that we'll probably have to tackle in a separate podcast, because there's so much to talk about in that. And you're talking about sort of those, there's things like animal flow and etc. If you reference talk about sort of animal movements or human movements, and that's just sort of, that's perfect for another discussion that we'll have, I think, another time. Is there anything that you'd like to share with the community and everybody that's going to see this video, which is everybody that's in the CrossFit community in China and hopefully in Asia? Am I putting you on the spot?
Yeah, I know. I didn't think about that. What message do I want to send? Well, guys, just focus on your health first.
Yeah.
That's what I want to just... Yeah. I want people to think, ask better questions, and not just do, let's say, oh, I'm going to do CrossFit, or I'm going to train CrossFit because it's famous, mm-hmm. or because it's trendy.
Mm.
Cool, that might help on the first few years, and then maybe you will transition to a different modality or a different thing, yeah. and that's okay. That's okay to transition because you grew out of it. Or if you do CrossFit first, then you want to go on weightlifting, then powerlifting, and go back to CrossFit. It's all right. It's yeah. all a process, and then it's mostly about learning what works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the message that I want to leave.
I put yeah. Stephanie on the spot, and she gave an amazing answer. That's really, really great. Don't get stuck into one thing.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to be taken into this exciting new world of fitness, whether it's CrossFit, whether it's powerlifting, whether it's gymnastics, whether it's something totally different. So that's where we're going to go. And you're going to see a lot more of Stephanie. I think once she comes back from Brazil, we'll have a lot of opportunities for her to get involved with the podcast, going around talking to lots of different people, and hopefully doing some workouts together. So lots of new content to bring you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to doing more podcasts together.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay, guys. See you next time.
Yeah.
Hey, that was awesome.
I can talk like this forever.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Thank you.